Once again, a very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 28th of June, 2020, Sunday. We will continue from where we stopped, page 78, Return to One's Pure Nature. The title of the book is The Path to Truth for Modern Day Bodhisattva by Xu Chengyan. Okay, before we go into this, maybe I'd like to share something that we just did about half an hour or so ago. There was this suggestion by Brother Jin Hao, which was very good, to form a small working group to help us improve on the short video, because based on feedback from YouTube and other sources which Jin Hao managed together, they realized the video that are more popular are the short video, 5-10 minutes or 15 to 20 minutes, or maybe maximum half an hour. So those that are longer than 15-20 minutes, most of the time, people don't really look at it unless they hear good comments and all those things. So what Jin Hao suggested was very good. He needed about 15 volunteers among Kayamita. So today we had about 7 or so. I think total 9 or 10 of us. But they're having the first session on this Zoom discussion. Preliminary discussion, or we call it a preliminary brainstorming session, and it turned out to be very good. So I had asked Jin Hao also to get Ng Bi to help if she is free, then get Brother Song to come in also, then Brother Chong, Chong Kai Wen, if they are free, to come in. And those who feel that they want to participate, they can also. Yeah, this will help us and help those who participate in getting our video to be done up in a proper manner, which is short, concise, and to the point. Like every session, ours may be 2 to 3 hours. But it is too lengthy. People may not have the patience all the time unless they are looking for particular topic of understanding that interests them. Otherwise, most people won't waste so much time on your video. Sometimes your WhatsApp video, I realize, they look at it 1-2 minutes, they either skip or they jump or they just delete it. So what we try to do here is to get people to come in who has the faith, the cultivation, and the understanding to listen to all this video. Then as you listen, like now the class start, this may not be Heart Sutta, so what he's doing is for Heart Sutta. Every time you hear something interesting, that is very profound and interesting, you can make a note. Okay, then the title, like Suyan suggested, Silent Mind. Then also, sometimes all the quotation by me, Ng Bi last night, find it very useful, very helpful. So she also managed to write them down. That's how that unique quote come about. So all these are the good suggestions. Then you also have the recording time there. Later on, you can even WhatsApp Jin Hao or become a working committee member. Then you can get access to the WhatsApp where there is a spreadsheet where you can put in your suggestion. What short title? So the popular one are like Yoniso Manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Paticca Samuppada, the dwelling. Then there's also this Four Noble Truths and its three turnings. So all these are titles that can attract people. Yeah? Or Anicjang, Dukkang, Anatta, understanding the three universal characteristics of life and existence. So all these are very good pointer. Then for Han Sutta is easier, where the second edition has a lot of subheading. So you only have to follow the subheading, then look at other possible headings, yeah, where you can really suggest. Then if you can listen to it again, then get hold of what time it start, then what time it end. So based on that suggestion, Jin Hao will make a summary of all those suggestions and then maybe create two or three short videos instead of the lengthy one. So this will be more useful and it can attract more people. And also, Sui An has a very good suggestion too. And even I think the other working group people. He said, a lot of this video, which are very good, we didn't really put in the effort to like promote it, to let other people know. So what you should do is, if you really like the video, you can click on the like. Then you can forward it to maybe your own circle or Facebook group or Buddhist group. Then he said, the comments down there, we realize, are also very important. You have very beautiful, sincere, true comments. You should put it down. Which particular topic, this Dhamma talk or Dhamma sharing on this topic is very clear, very concise, very direct to the point, and very profound. And like the experience by Po Cheng, Han Po Cheng, the way she described how she transformed was really magnificent and amazing, like the word she used. It's so amazing. And it just happened by itself without her knowing it. And the understanding just unfolded. Then there were many comments, I think, especially the few by Engby and some Kayamita. He said this is the true reflection of Pachetang. Veditapo Vinohitu Vinohiti means this Dhamma can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. And the Dhamma is timeless, beyond thought, beyond time, akaliko. Then this Dhamma is also not thought based, not knowledge. That's the reason why I said no need to know, don't try to know. When you have that daily mindfulness very stable, and when you are able to realize the true sati, like what Po Cheng described, the mind becomes so quiet, so still, and just the awareness nature. And the awareness is so sharp, with such clarity, everything is just aware, the heartbeat, everything. Then through the awareness, the stability of silent mind awareness, she can see her own mental movement, even her mundane mind, how it is conditioned into negativity and how it do all those nonsense and cause her all the problem early on. She can see and she just realized it like that. Then she also mentioned he can freeze the mundane mind. He wanted to stop, it stopped. Then that wrong view, which is already gone, the conditioning cannot move. It can stop the mind. There and there is like freeze. That is the real Dhamma. And she has the great gratitude, compassion and understanding. That he start to pity the living being. He start to understand no wonder living beings suffer because of such delusion, sakayaditi. They cannot see all the conditioning, the views, the opinion, the fear, the insecurity, all these are from the accumulated memories. The brains that accumulate all this rubbish inside there that condition them into having negativity or mind state. how their fear, their insecurity, their unhappiness, their deep resentment and suffering comes to be. She see it, she understand it. Then she know what this thing is. She used to admit in the early days she can't understand. But recently, because of her faith, then also she determined this time to seriously cultivate deeply. But unfortunately, because of MCO, the retreat cancer, but it was a blessing in this time. So he determined to read the Heart Sutta. Then we have this sharing on the Heart Sutta, Zoom video, everything. So it was a blessing in this time. And she reflect on Maranatanasati. Maranatanasati is contemplation on death, the urgency of cultivation. He every time reflect, death is a certainty, life is uncertain, but death is a certainty, and you can just die anytime. And like Brother Theo said, he said, the window to cultivate is here and now, this asana, when Brother Theo is still around to guide us, and he determined to really work towards it. Her faith was so strong, her determination was so strong. She followed my advice, have a good daily religious routine. She meditate before she go to bed. When she wake up, then in between, develop all the puja practices and daily mindfulness. Then when the daily mindfulness stabilize, the spiritual faculty also come in. Then she realize when she meditate and lie down, she can settle down very fast. Within, according to her, is half an hour. She realized the shift of consciousness. Then the mind become completely still, tranquil, just aware inside there. And that state was so beautiful, so amazing, beyond her wildest dream and expectation. Then after that, everything she do with that silent mind, life becomes so different. Even choosing fruits, selecting fruits with that awareness, the silent, is so different. Every time she's silent, her mind, she can see a lot of things. Her daily mindfulness improves so much. And she can understand all the things, most of the things that I share. And the most amazing one is the last few weeks is a continuously in the meditation, a lot of things happen. Then finally, the awareness dropped to the heart area by itself. Then after that, a few more weeks, suddenly it opened up. She described in her own words, like a tunnel open up. But you have to go through it to experience it, to understand. Otherwise you cannot. You think it's a tunnel. Then you're going to imagine that tunnel. No. It is something like an opening, a void that goes in. Then she said, the energy that moves in and melts inside is so soothing. Then she becomes so quiet and so still. That's how the transformation happened. And then she started to understand many things on her own. That's why she had a lot of joy, a lot of gratitude. Then when all these are possible, she remember how she can actually benefit others and Kalyanamitta by sharing all this, so that people can have faith. She used to say, if I can do, everybody can do. Because when she started, she really was very new, like a new kid on the block. She just came to the retreat the first time, I think the sister in Malaysia, also Han, I think Han Mo Ching, Mo Ching or Mo Ching, I don't know. I cannot remember actually, but she is Han Po Ching. So Mo Ching and Po Ching. She attended, and she that time was so new, but she knew this was beautiful. And she expressed her joy to you, go and listen to the 2016 retreat. Yeah, it's all there. Then later on, 2017, she came again. Then the real transformation only happened recently, after she became dead serious. and she followed the advice to develop the daily mindfulness, to develop the understanding of the meditation by just following the simple instruction, the four support, relax, maintain awareness, 24 hours, and trust. Surprisingly, she went through all those. He said, so simple the instruction, and yet so potent, so powerful, so transforming, so amazing. In her own words, in her own WhatsApp, she shared. So this is possible. This is what I want to share with you. And for those who have the condition to develop the same determination, you will definitely awaken. You will progress. And you will be able to experience the thing like what she described. But those who cultivate correctly, the friction of it, the result is the same. Because this is Dhamma, that is Pachyetang, not knowledge. Not the usual traditional Buddhist teaching that is incapable of developing the understanding and the awakening. This is the one that leads to transformation. The pure awareness, the awareness nature within, leading to heedfulness. When the mind is heedful, aware, it is completely silent and still, tranquil. That's why it can see things as they are, it can awaken, and it can develop a lot of understanding. So, just follow instruction and don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. We are, all this is by the thought. You're supposed to realize a Dhamma that is beyond thought, beyond mind. So hopefully with this sharing by Sister Pok Ching and suggestion by Jin Hao, we can, for the benefit of Kayamita and all others, we can come out with better short version of video with the appropriate title so that you can be interested in the subject, and you can develop clearer and deeper understanding so that you can walk the path of Dhamma more easily. When you understand, you cultivate, you transform and realize very fast. Before you understand, you become gullible. You cannot really do the correct one. Yeah, most people get stuck in thought-based meditation. They don't know what sati is, they don't know what awareness is, they don't know what heedfulness is. So they always use the thought. They practice from knowledge, using the thought. That's why they do a lot of noting, focusing, concentration, then a lot of verbalization, Dhamma knowledge. They didn't understand what the silent mind is. If your mind cannot be silent, you are heedless, you are lost in thought. The silent mind is your true mind. The true mind that is in sati is without thought, it's just aware in that nature. And it's not a being that can come out and live life. So you have to realize that. In fact, the first most important realization is the state of no thought. The first hallmark of winning. And to realize that is to realize your true mind, the true sati. So all meditations start with training your mind to be silent, completely without thought, to realize that state of tranquility, stillness, silence, which is your meditative mind, your true mind, that awareness within. So this understanding is very important. Unless you understand this, you cannot meditate. As a meditation become like very difficult and complicated because you fail to understand why you cannot meditate. Why is your mind heedless? Think a lot, worry a lot, have all the mental hindrance. Because you lack spiritual faculties. When you lack spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance take over. That's the reason why all cultivation start with cultivating spiritual faculties, especially sati. When you have sadha virya through the puja, Then you cultivate sati, develop mindfulness, stabilize it to become samadhi. Then with the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, you can see things as they are. You can awaken to the silent mind, the meditative mind. That's how you meditate. Then with the understanding and the wisdom, be a silent observer, straighten your view and awaken insight into phenomena. So this is the sharing that I want to share before we continue with the topic. Okay, I think with that we will go on to the path to truth for the modern day Bodhisattva practitioner. So we are at page 76, return to one's pure awareness or pure nature. You can call it the pure awareness nature too. Although the Jingzi Dharma lineage and the Qiji school of Buddhism were not formally established until 40 years after Qiji's founding, they did not just come about today. Their origin can be traced back more than 40 years ago. After the master was ordained as a bhikkhuni and received the higher precepts, she returned to Hualien and studied the Lotus Sutta, Miao Hualien Hua Jing, in a small wooden cabin for 6 months. See, Lotus Sutta alone, she developed the cultivation for 6 months. She studied it. That was the most peaceful time of her life. Later on, she left the cabin due to various causes and conditions. As a result, she had the opportunity to encounter all kinds of people and learn their story. She was inspired to benefit others in this world due to karmic affinity. She must have seen a lot of suffering, misery, calamity, and all those things. At that time, life was pretty tough, pretty difficult. She relayed. She said, "My life in that tiny cabin was extremely difficult. I lived there for only 6 months and had to leave before I could study the Lotus Sutta in great detail. Since then, I have been dedicated to working with people. I'm like the ferryman mentioned in the Sutta of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, who would get sick like anyone else. Although he was ill, he still took the helm and ferried the boat and its passengers safely across the river to the other side." So this one is referred to the ferryman. So as a bodhisattva, you also have to do that like the ferryman. The ferry in the metaphor is the Dhamma that has given me tremendous courage and confidence. Although we have limited knowledge, when we thoroughly understand one principle, we can understand a great many things. Spiritual cultivation can be achieved through simple methods. It is not necessary to stay inside and engage spiritual practice in solitude. See, she understands. You can come out into life, society. We may take our last breath at any moment. See, this is wise contemplation. Marana Anusati, contemplation on death, means you can die anytime. You can take your last breath any moment. No one can predict when life will end. Therefore, I decide to work with people immediately and act according to the spirit of the Lotus Sutta, following the method described in the Sutta of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. The Sutta of Infinite Meaning states, "With mind," this one you must listen, this is a Bodhisattva's mind. This type of mind is very beautiful. You can cultivate until this type of mind, like what Po Cheng has gone through, I sadhu you. you will progress very fast. You listen, eh? The Sutta of Infinite Meaning states, with mind tranquil and clear, vows vast as the universe, they remain unwavering for countless kappa. This is what the Bodhisattva's mind is. This is the Qing Shi Dhamma lineage. We should not only mindfully learn it by heart, but also apply it.
Sorry.
Now my sui, now my letter only do, huh? Or you take a piece of paper or write it down. Huh?
No, I accidentally.
I know. Now my, yes, leave
it.
Or you want to make note, you use this.
It's not make note. Right?
Okay.
As I move this one.
Okay, it's okay.
The,
so sorry for the interruption. I will read again. With mind tranquil and clear, vows vast as the universe, they remain unwavering for countless kappa. This only a great being, Bodhisattva, can do. This is the Qing Shi Dhamma lineage. We should not only mindfully learn it by heart, but also apply it in our daily life. See, daily life is very important, daily mindfulness, daily cultivation. We must start by cultivating ourselves within and by always being tranquil and clear. Means you must have tranquility and stillness of mind with clarity of mind. We should maintain a mind that is free of distracting thought, means like Po Cheng say, no thought, no mental hindrance, nothing. Just the awareness nature, which is so beautiful, so sensitive, so amazing. But it's filled with great love instead. So there is always metta, love and compassion, born of wisdom. This is our pure intrinsic nature, which is undefiled by eternal or external turmoil or delusion of greed, hatred and delusion. So our pure nature, pure intrinsic nature, it is just that awareness, that pure nature, without duality, unpolluted, no words, nothing. That's why that pure nature is so pure, so beautiful. So, I will read again. This is our pure intrinsic nature, which is undefiled by external turmoil or delusion of greed, hatred, and delusion. The ultimate goal of learning the Buddha's way or the Dhamma and the spiritual cultivation is to revive our pure, untainted intrinsic nature. This is very beautiful, the description, to revive our pure, untainted intrinsic nature. Do you know the meaning or not? Your nature is always there, pure, untainted, and that nature is intrinsic within each and every living being. But we fail to realize that because we got ourselves entangled and mixed up by what? By delusion, by ignorance that condition us to be heedless. That's why we create countless heedless thinking. We stir that nature and create the mundane mind. And the mundane mind, being the forerunner of all things, started the process of fall. Means you fall from that pure state and get yourself entangled with the conditioned world, with the world of form, phenomenal world of consciousness and form. So through ignorant avijja, you create mental activities, sankhara. Then you cannot understand sankhara. You thought it is permanent, you thought it is real, you thought you can hold on to it, cling on to it, grasp on to it, and do so many things, and own so many things, not knowing that this is a delusion. That's the reason why you have to return, means develop the cultivation to revive your untainted intrinsic nature. Revive, maybe, is not such an appropriate word. It's to return. Return means what? To have the wisdom to understand that the condition arising mind, the mundane mind, which is dependent originating condition arising causal phenomena that create all this existence, that one is not you, that one is not real, that one go the way of nature. So see this, then realize the profound understanding and wisdom. This one is to live life, to go the way of nature, following the law of karma. It manifests, it comes, it goes, it arises, it sees the birth and death, the perpetual creation. You have to reverse all this to an understanding by returning all of external form and phenomena, the world of form and phenomena, back to consciousness. Then consciousness, which is the mundane mind, return to the pure awareness. Then the pure awareness to wisdom via the direct seeing cause the mundane mind to cease. So when the mundane mind cease, you will return to your pure untainted intrinsic nature, which is just that nature without words, without concept. That's how you return to realize the enlightenment. Yeah, it's a cessation of form and mind that give rise to the realization of Nibbana. And Nibbana can only be realized by the form and mind that has the wisdom that enable the mundane mind to completely cease. And when it ceases, the pure awareness also no more. Then you return to that oneness nature, the original nature, or you realize the unconditioned Nibbana, that Nibbanic nature, the cessation of form and mind. That's how you return. But the author used the word to revive. Actually, you understand it's okay, otherwise it's not an appropriate word. It's not to revive. It was there all the time. You only have to realize it through an understanding, which is wisdom. So when you cease the mundane mind, the creative mind, the dependent originating mind, then you will return and realize your true nature. Then when you return and realize the unconditioned, when you come out of it again, you will understand the creation. You understand how all this come to be. That's how you awaken. Then you will know who are you, what are you, what is this form and mind all about. The two types of mind, everything become very clear. Then the Buddha said, the mind, the Buddha and sentient being are no different in their nature. So this sentence also very profound. The mind, the Buddha and sentient being are no different in their nature. That's the reason why you study Mahayana. They always tell you each and every one of us has the same Buddha nature within us. You are actually Buddha. You have that nature. But you forgot that you are Buddha. You cling on to the mundane mind, the karmic egoic consciousness, the one that takes birth. So this is where the delusion is. So the Buddha said, the mind, the Buddha, and sentient being are no different in their nature. This means that all of us have the same pure Buddha nature. So that same pure nature as the Buddha has is the Buddha nature. We must cultivate our mind as we engage in. Oh, like that. Yeah. Oh, you cannot move anymore. Oh, okay. Sorry, because this one is an e-book. My daughter bought it from Amazon.com. So ebook not like last time one. I can move it everything. Cannot. So this one I have to read finish and only the page flip. So I read again. The mind, the Buddha, the sentient beings are no different in their nature. This means that all of us have the same pure intrinsic Buddha nature as the Buddha has. We must cultivate our mind as we engage in spiritual practice. See, you have to cultivate your mind. Cultivate which mind? You have to cultivate the mundane mind, not the pure mind. Ordinary people's mind are polluted. This one refer to mundane mind. Yet the Buddha's mind is clear and pure. This refer to your true mind. Then next page. The Buddha's mind and ordinary people's mind are actually two sides of the same coin. So now you understand. The only difference is that one is clear and the other one is polluted. So this one you have to develop the clear understanding. Why does the Buddha say the ordinary person's mind are actually the two sides of the same coin? Because like I explained to you, the true mind or the pure mind, that true nature, is the first to come out from the unconditioned, the source. Then from there, it created the ordinary mundane mind, the dependent originating mind, conditioned arising mind. From that nature, everything comes to be. Like Huineng, when he heard from the fifth patriarch, it is so amazing that all Dhamma arise from that self nature, that pure nature, and nothing is apart from that pure nature. Then the fifth patriarch told Huineng, when he explained to him the Diamond Sutta, he said, this mundane mind, conditioned arising mind, dependent originating mind, this is not your true mind, but this is a very useful mind, very important mind when you come to this existential world, when you take birth. You must learn how to use it and yet not deluded by it. That is the wisdom. Use it means what? Use it with wisdom. Understand clearly that this is the mundane mind. It exhibits the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. It is impermanent because it's dependent originating condition arising. Follow nature's law. You attach and cling and want things your way, which is not in accordance with nature's law, then what happens? You suffer. That's why when you cannot get what you want, you suffer. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. You can't. That is self-delusion. That's why the anatta nature is there. And because everything is just within the moment, and that is the highest in life, moment to moment life passes by. That is the only reality and highest in life. What are you doing? So if you can understand this, then you can straight away awaken and understand the empty nature of existence. Because the highest in life is the present moment. Then through mindfulness and awareness and sati, you can see clearly how stable is the present moment. Split second is gone. Split second is gone. Arise, pass away. Arise, pass away. Because before you can even do anything, it's already gone. So how real can life be? And yet that is the highest in life. That is the only reality. So when you see this, you will understand the deep meaning of anatta, which is empty nature existence. Existence has got no reality. Yet everything arises within the moment and it passes away. As real as it can be, it's only within the moment. And you can only hold on to it, grasp onto it through memory. 往事只能回味. No reality. Because every present moment, they just slip away so fast. is so transient, state of flux, and that is the only reality within the conditioned world. So how foolish living beings are, not able to realize this truth. And to understand this is not difficult. The past is already gone, no more a reality. Future yet to come, also no more reality. So the only reality is the here and the now, moment to moment. Life passes by. So you have to reflect and contemplate. If that is the only reality, then what I am doing within every moment of reality that arises, if I cannot silence my mind to be with the moment, to realize the pristine beauty and wonders of life, then I am not living life. So if you were to check most people before they learn the Dhamma and have the wisdom and the understanding and the awakening, they are so heedless, deluded, they think a lot. They are too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. So much so they never get to live life. They never get to experience life. They can never with a moment in silent, pure awareness to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. So this is the part where living beings fail to develop the understanding and wisdom to comprehend. That's how they suffer. Yeah. So when the Buddha explained that is these two minds are actually one. That's why it belongs to the same coin, but two sides of the coin. One is before the creation, one is after the creation. That's why he said the only difference is that one is clear, one is without the wrong view, the distraction, the sakadity, the ignorance. One is pure, with clarity, stillness, tranquility. And the other one is polluted, polluted by the evil roots, the wrong view, the ignorance. Then I read on that. When we encounter things that are unpleasant, or when we are about to lose our temper over something that does not meet our expectation, means when you cannot get what you want, we should quickly remind ourselves to be tranquil and clear. So this is their way of cultivation. Do you understand? If you are a true cultivator, your mind is always tranquil and clear, true or not? Just now we went through already, the Bodhisattva's mind is always tranquil, in stillness, with clarity. That's why it's tranquil and clear. Then when we are again tempted by external condition, our mind will not be easily tinted or stir and react to sense experience. In addition to this, we must be steady or steadfast. Steadfast means what? You must have samadhi. Your mind must be unwavering. The mind that is collected and unwavering is the mind that has samadhi. Then to make vows as vast as the endless void is to make great vows and give rise to great aspiration, means pure wish. Yeah? You make aspiration. The sutta was, with a mind tranquil and clear, vows vast as the universe, is a useful remedy that we must keep in mind so that we can use it at any time. So this is the mind of a great being, Bodhisattva. That's the reason why we should always develop the cultivation so that our mind is always tranquil, still, and clear. In addition to this, we have gone through that. The phrase upholding our vows unwavering for countless eons remind us that if something is right, we should just do it. It is not enough to simply listen to the Dhamma. We must also consistently cultivate it. So the word should change to cultivate, not practice. Practice is or repetitive thing. The Buddha is the great enlightened one of the universe. His teaching applied to our daily life. Shiji's Bodhisattva path is based on the Buddha's teaching. When we apply the Dhamma in life, our mind will be purified at all times. So this is their way of cultivation. They walk the path of Bodhisattva with the training so that they have that understanding and clarity of a true cultivator, a great being, the Bodhisattva. So they will always cultivate a clear mind which is tranquil and still. Then of course wisdom has to come to support it. The phrase upholding our vows unwavering for countless eons reminds us that if something is right, we should just do it. It is not enough to simply listen to the Dhamma. We must also consistently cultivate it. The Buddha is the great enlightened one of the universe. His teaching applied to our daily life. So this one we have gone through. Then we go on to the last paragraph. In order for us to pass down the Jingshi Dhamma lineage, we must first maintain mind tranquil and clear, vows vast as the universe, and remain unwavering for countless kappas. If our mind are not pure, or if our resolution are not firm, then how can we pass down the Jingshi lineage, Dhamma lineage? Furthermore, we should not give up on those who have not yet met or spoken to. We should always give every person the opportunity to walk the Bodhisattva way or path. Our affinity with them lies in the past, present, and future. We must make the most of this affinity, not only in this life, but also in future life. Therefore, our vow must remain unwavering for countless kappas. In order for us to uphold the spirit of Shiji, our faith must be unwavering. This is very important. Your faith must be unwavering. Faith in the Buddha and his teaching. And we must maintain our vows for countless eons or kappas. As stated in the Lotus Sutta, Bodhisattva can extend an instant into an aeon or condense an aeon into a day. How can that be done? If we continuously seize the present moment and make it everlasting, then we will reach eternity because each moment will last forever. Shiji volunteers are doing just that. As long as our minds are unwavering and we are working mindfully, we will be able to extend an instant into countless eons and condense countless eons into an instant. So this one is referring to the timeless Dhamma. In fact, there are two aspects to it. So the timeless Dhamma is akaliko. Akaliko means you have realized the timeless, the Dhamma which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So timeless means no time. But here time refers to psychological time, not physical time. Physical time you cannot stop. It is a measurement. Like our time on this earth. Our time equals what they call 1 year, which is the time our planet Earth takes to go around our sun. For it to go around one full cycle is 365 1/4 day, and that we call it 1 year. Then they subdivide into hour, minutes, and seconds. So this is what physical time is all about. But when it comes to psychological time, it's whether your thought arise or not. When the thought don't arise, there is no time. Means you have realized the timeless, There is no psychological time. That's why when time stops, the samsaric time got no meaning. Aeon can be condensed into one pure thought, one moment of complete timeless silence and stillness. Similarly, the other way around. When you silence your mind, aeons has passed, and yet you just come out. So to you, aeons is just one moment of silence that lasts for so long. So this is what the author is trying to explain, eh? And I read on. What then is Tsuchi's Dhammapa? Our goal is to work among people, to serve those in need, and to realize our own blessing as we witness suffering. When we know to cherish our blessing, we will create more blessing for others and for ourselves. For helping to relieve the suffering of others, we also nurture our own wisdom line. This is our Dhamma lineage. So that's how they do it. Eh? That's why Tsuchi do it in a different manner. They don't just cultivate, and liberate their mind. But they go all out, compassion in action, through doing. They develop the wisdom and the understanding and the merits and the cultivation. Okay, we move on. So this is their Dhamma lineage. So we finish that chapter. Then we go on to the next chapter, the Living Bodhisattva, page 80, which is very beautiful. The Sutta of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, say, infinite Dhamma Dao readily appear in front of them. They attain great wisdom and completely understand all Dhamma. This is the Dhamma Dao of the Tsuchi school of Buddhism. Means they follow that Sutta. Sutta of Infinite Dhamma Dao, or meaning Wu Liang Yi Jing. This is the Dhamma Dao of the Tsuchi school of Buddhism. Our method of spiritual cultivation is to interact with people, to personally reach out to those suffering and understand how they feel. Through seeing the various affliction and suffering of others, we reflect on our own life and appreciate how fortunate we are. We also learn from the wisdom of others and practice the six perfections of paramitas. This is the true spiritual practice of cultivation, of cultivating both blessing and wisdom, means virtue and wisdom. An ancient sage said, spiritual cultivation can be practiced or cultivated while in active life or in motion, as well as in stillness. And this means you either silence your mind and develop the meditation of the spiritual understanding through a formal posture or daily mindfulness when you are still active in life. So practicing in a quiet place, we nurture our vitality. Practicing in busy place, we cultivate our mind and spirit. And this is very true, huh? When you develop the meditation in a way place, in a quiet place, yeah? You actually build up your nature. That's how you cultivate your vitality. Yeah? So cultivating vitality is very beautiful, yeah? Very useful. Okay, I read on. An ancient sage said, spiritual cultivation can be practiced while in motion as well as in stillness. So practicing in a quiet place, we nurture our vitality. This one I have explained. This is formal meditation. It's you develop the ability to nurture Your vitality means your inner essence. Means you silence your mind and let the trust allow your nature to develop the meditation. Then it will nurture your vitality within. Means your nature become very strong, very stable. Then while cultivating in a busy place, we cultivate our mind and spirit, means you develop wisdom. In a bustling environment, if we can train ourselves not to be disturbed by external condition, so that we can remain completely focused, we will develop wisdom through the challenges we encounter. So this is active, eh? Within society, daily mindfulness. Next page. As Tsuji volunteers treading the Bodhisattva path, we interact with many people every day. We are very busy and hardworking. From a mundane, limited perspective, things and matter may seem very complicated. However, from an extraordinary practice of perspective, it is seen that these people, with their diverse personality and story, present us with many learning opportunities. So all people can be our teacher, Confucius said. When I walk with two others, my teacher is among them. I will learn from the virtue and correct myself if I have their flaws. So this is how Confucius developed the learning. Living beings have different habitual tendencies, and they each experience different types of suffering, all of which are lessons for us to learn. Each individual has experiences and a life story that we can learn from, just like a sutta. So if you are mindful, aware, and observant, you can learn. I used to say life is our greatest teacher. When we share our experience, our life story, or the important moments in our life, we contribute to the great sutta's treasury of this world. Such sharing increases our knowledge and experience, just as if we were reading a wide range of Buddhist sutta. This is what is meant by infinite Dhammadhamma readily appear in front of us. This is also a worldly principle. It is said that we grow in wisdom with each experience. We must never be afraid to take action. For the more we do, the more wisdom we gain. Each time we get to know one more person or dedicate ourselves to one more task, we gain. Next page. More knowledge and experience. This brings out our inherent wisdom. We must train our mind to be completely focused amidst the external condition of the mundane world. We must be accepting of everything which distinguishes right from wrong. We must be accepting of everything while distinguishing right from wrong. Then we are keeping the Buddha in our heart, living by the Dhamma, and maintaining mindfulness in practicing the Dhamma. No matter how turbulent the external conditions are, we will be able to remain calm and unwavering and view matter with the Buddha's wisdom. We will be able to see past the turbulent wave and realize that the sea is still the sea. We will also be able to achieve a profound wisdom that is as deep as the ocean and thoroughly understand the sutta. As described in the sutta, we attain great wisdom and completely understood the Dhamma. So this part is also very useful, able to see the turbulent wave and realize that the sea is still the sea. So there is one part of the Dhamma which I want to share with you. This one is based on a Zen story. Yeah? You see, if you divide, then suffering arises. So there was a Zen story. Yeah? They were talking about this wave from the ocean hitting the bank. Then this small wave or droplets of water, they complain, you see. Every time we hit the shore, another big wave come and pour into us and cause us so much problem. So you see, we are so minute. So they start to become like afflicted, sad. They are like living beings without wisdom and understanding. That's how they suffer. They complain because they separate themselves from the big wave. Then one day, a wise one appear and talk to them. Little one, we are in essence the same. We are just water. The big wave, the small wave, and you, little one, we are all same nature as one. We are all water. When they realize that the discriminative mind is gone, then they were full of joy playing with the wave, because they suddenly realized we are one, we are not separated, we are not divided. That's the reason why when you see the oneness nature within each and every one of the cultivator or living being, you will realize this profound wisdom. We are actually the same. Our nature is the same. The only one that divide and discriminate is the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind. And that one is not real. That one is the deluded one. That one is the false, the unreal. That one is impermanent. Lead to suffering when you grasp and you cling. And that one is non-self, empty, no reality. So when you understand all this, you awaken. That's the meaning of we attain great wisdom and completely understand all Dhamma. So when you do not argue, that's why in this sharing they say, when you realize the sea is still the sea, there is no division. I will read on. As part of Tzuchi's 40th anniversary celebration, we held photo display which documented Tzuchi's mission of community volunteerism. It was our sincere hope that through this display, every community would be could be a spiritual training ground for people, and that everyone in that community or in these communities could learn more about Tzuchi's volunteer and project. In addition, Tzuchi workers were invited to share their personal experiences. Former care recipients whose picture were displayed also came to share how they met the Tzuchi volunteer who had changed their life. After their situation improved, they were able to help the other people in need. Their story are the best testimony to Tzuchi's legacy. Each person has a story to tell. These real-life stories are splendid, touching, and filled with truth, beauty and goodness. Telling one's own story is an effective way to positively influence others. While doing Tzuchi's work, we hear and encounter many people and matter, and we witness many touching moments. We can share how we have become more understanding and accommodating, how we have learned to be more appreciative of our blessings after witnessing the suffering of others. Therefore, spiritual training ground do not have to be a temple. As long as we calm our mind, we can see the Dhamma in every tree and blade of grass. And people of any age can be our teacher. We fully understand the path Ciji volunteer has trodden, and the work we want, and the work they have done. And we share our story with each other, with one another. The more story we know, the more we will learn of the way. Ciji volunteer must play many roles. As we contribute to society and give to all beings, we must also record this moment with articles, photos, photographs, and video. Thus, with the collective power of many, it is as if we had 1,000 hands and 1,000 eyes, like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. The Sutta say there are those who have been saved, those who are in the process of being saved, and those who have yet to be saved. There are those who have achieved, those who are achieving, and those who have yet to achieve. Those who have been saved are those who have achieved the Bodhisattva state and have become enlightened beings. In Ciji, we have living Bodhisattva who have been saved and have achieved Bodhisattva state. They are senior Ciji commissioner and faith corps members. Those in the process of being saved and achieving the Bodhisattva state are the volunteers in gray uniform who are doing Ciji's work in their community. Although Bodhisattvas have achieved the Bodhisattva state, they have not yet reached the Buddha state of perfect enlightenment. They still need to learn from the Buddha and work to save all living beings. So they raise questions to consult the Buddha. As for us, ordinary beings, we still live in the mundane world and are newly inspired Bodhisattvas. Practitioners who have same realization and have just recently made a vow. Hence, we must certainly be even more diligent to listen to the Dhamma. Learning the Dhamma. While learning the Dhamma, we must not forget our mission of transforming living beings. The senior commissioner and faith corps members who are transformed and have achieved the Bodhisattva state learn a lot from their experience in the Ciji work. They can also quickly grasp what is happening in the world because of their involvement in the Ciji mission. They can also quickly grasp what is happening in the world because their involvement in Ciji's mission has broadened their views. Now that Ciji's charity mission has been established in many parts of the world, Ciji volunteers worldwide can quickly share information about their local area with those in other parts of the world. In light of this, senior Ciji commissioner faith corps members must take good care of those in the process of being saved and in the process of achieving Bodhisattva state, such as recycling volunteers, academy classroom mothers, and volunteer in training. All are taking one step at a time into the Ciji world. Commissioner and faith corps members should guide and help them so that they do not quit. Guiding and helping one more person means forming one more good affinity. Only by creating more positive causes and affinity will we have positive result and feeling. Moreover, there are many people who are not yet saved and have not yet achieved the Bodhisattva state. Very often, we meet people who have never even heard of the Ciji. Therefore, those in the process of being saved and achieving the Bodhisattva state must also spread the seed of love far and wide, and guide those who are not yet saved and have not yet achieved the Bodhisattva state. Each one of us must serve as a farmer to cultivate field of blessing in this world and act as a teacher to others without being asked. We must take the initiative to support the people, support other people, and help others open up their mind and understand life's principle. As we join together to pass on this love, society will become peaceful and harmonious. Therefore, we must do more to spread love among people and carry out the spirit of great love. This is the hallmark of the Ciji school of Buddhism and the most important mission of Ciji volunteer. So this is how they do their training, and the Living Bodhisattva's training ground. So among humanity, they learn, they train. Okay, at least we finished two chapters. So we stop here. Page 85. Then maybe we can have 45 minutes of meditation, silent awareness meditation. Then we will continue with our Q&A and meditation reporting. Okay, so I will off the light. Then you can develop your own mindfulness training. So silence your mind, relax, maintain awareness, and let the mundane mind settle down. Then realize your silent mind, your true mind. Sometimes it may take you up to half an hour, like even this Po Cheng mentioned. But if you have developed the training, the spiritual faculty and the daily mindfulness, you don't need so long. You can fall into it very fast, sometimes within minutes. Because if in the daily life, you already have your spiritual faculty, you are full and aware most of the time, then to sit in the formal meditation, to meditate, to silence your mind, is even more easy. Trying to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then remember, relax into all mind state, maintain awareness, then continue your daily religious routine to develop the daily mindfulness. The daily mindfulness has to be very, very stable so that your sati is also very stable. You have to develop the sati until it's ever mindful. Then use it to meditate. Constantly meditative means cultivate noble eightfold path throughout the day. Reflect, contemplate, inquire, and silence your mind, or constantly listening to Dhamma. Then after that, silence your mind to develop the daily mindfulness, the silent inner awareness, to insight into phenomena. And use it to live life. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So for you to be solidly on the path, you need to develop this heedfulness. To be heedful is not only mindful, ever mindful, constantly meditative. So throughout the day, you are most of the time aware, mindful, quiet, peaceful, tranquil, and still. Then you can live life, you can interact with people, you can arise and benefit living beings. You can also work, do your duty, your career, everything. No problem. Okay, so with this, maybe we will continue with the second session, which is meditation reporting, plus whatever question you may have. You can ask question regarding meditation, or you can report your meditation, or you can ask about the Dhamma, the teaching, and also how to apply what you have learned in this teaching to help you understand life and resolve all your life problem or situation or issue. Okay, so you can just wave your hand or on your mic and come in while I have a drink. Anybody? You just report your meditation or share your experience, whatever. Anybody? Just come in. Yeah, Alicia, 你要讲东西是吗？Alicia.
Good afternoon, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
Mm. 我想 report 我的 meditation.
Very good. So that,
actually, 最近有几次的 experience, 当我从我的 meditation 出来的时候，就是它起初是有一个很 bright 的一个好像很 bright 这样子，然后才慢慢有，就是你才能够感觉到你的。
Yeah.Your conscious state, huh?
这样子，我以前都没有这个 experience， 想问一下不知道为什么有一点像有一点的，
他会先出来，对，还有呢？还有什么？
还有，他就是出来之后，他又好像明白，可是我现在 recall 又 recall 不回，这样
不用 recall 了。你在里面的时候有正念 awareness 就可以了，就好像那个 Han 不清，She said she like didn't sleep like didn't sleep because she can know what is going on in the mind, when she is fully aware. Then even in the daily life, he can see how this movement of the mundane mind, she can be aware of them. Then through the awareness, she understand.That's why,不用, don't try to recall or remember anything. Because when you try to recall, these are memory, knowledge. But if you can recall, it's also good. Then you can reflect on it, contemplate on it. But even if you can't, don't worry. Whatever you have developed, the awakening or the understanding is already in your nature. Then when you confront situation or life problem orWhen you are involved in your daily life, you will know how to attend to it. You will know how to resolve it. You will have the understanding to bring about the amicable solution. And you will be able to be at peace all the time. Yeah, that is real wisdom. So when there is wisdom, it will not stir, it will not react. It will be very clear about what this thing is.Then you are not deluded anymore. Then you will know how to go about doing your things. That is the beauty of this Dhamma, the teaching of the Buddha. So what you have gone through is good. Because when you can go deep into the meditation, the awareness or whatever, just like what Pok Cheng has gone through,the mind suddenly settle down and become very quiet and very still. Then you stay with the awareness. So initially, like your case, which is may not be that stable yet earlier on, then you can see the headless thinking still arising. Then after that, it becomes very quiet, very still. Then everything falls into place. The epoch that I went through is like there is a shift of consciousness. Then you are with that nature. When you are with that nature, just maintain the awareness. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Stay there, aware, aware, aware. Then sometimes it may become very quiet, very peaceful, very still, very tranquil. Then it may cease, depending on the condition. Then after that, when you come out of it, like what happened earlier on, if it has gone in for a while through the cessation, you come out of it. You will start to understand, because when you come out of it, you may experience like what you experience. Initially, it's just very bright. The awareness nature is very bright. Then slowly, that awareness nature starts to merge in with the consciousness that is trapped inside, which is going to arise the conscious mind. That conscious mind is actually your mundane mind. You become conscious of what your senses are able to allow you to become conscious of. Then you start to slowly like become conscious of your seeing, your hearing, your perception of your various sensory activity. It's okay. Learn to be aware of all those things. Then when you come out of the meditation, be mindful, be aware. Continue with your daily mindfulness. Stabilize it. Then the understanding will keep on arising. As you go through life, encounter life situation, the understanding will just come. Like Po Cheng said, hey, she just understands what is going on. Then she can never do all those things. And then the mind is like so different. He can be at the moment of contact or at the moment of feeling. He remains as pure feeling. It cannot condition to do other things anymore. It is not like last time, and the mind cannot stir and react like before, because she went through that transformation, that understanding, which is very different. It's just awareness, just that nature, without thought, without mental hindrance, without anything. And she can be in that state for 1 hour throughout the meditation. So that is what meditation is all about. In the formal meditation, you must experience that to stabilize that understanding of that nature, to have that clarity. Then when she come home, she realized she become so different. She was so amazed by what happened. Like, hey, how come suddenly she can understand or she can see all this that she never see before? And all the words that I spoke in the Heart Sutta book become clear to her, because this one comes from the silent mind. Then what she was able to develop was because she followed each and every advice, not only by the words, with faith, with determination, and she was dead serious because she contemplated on death. And the 5 daily contemplation, she never stopped. Every day she do it. And there was so much faith, saddha, virya. Then when the mindfulness came, she went through it and experienced all those things. And she started to understand that in her own words, this was so amazing. Beyond her ability to imagine that this is possible. And like she said, she never do anything. Everything just happened. The thing is pachetang. The Dhamma is verifiable, can be realized only by the wise. That's why she understands. The understanding just arrives like that. The only difference is now she is fully aware. That awareness become like extraordinary, sensitive and clear. Then the vital breakthrough was when the awareness dropped to the heart. When it dropped to the heart, she silent everything, follow the 4 supports. Relax, aware, maintain 24 hours. Then suddenly trust when the heart, that area open up. according to her own way, like a tunnel, then very soothing, the energy all melt inside, and that is trust. Then after that, when she came out of it, it's like a lot of things become very different, very clear. So all this can happen. So for your case, it's normal, right, for you to go through that, but you need to stabilize your daily mindfulness and your stability of that awareness until you can really connect to that gateway until it's very clear, very, very stable. Then allow it to be. Then if you go into cessation, silence your mind and let it happen. Don't worry. You will know how to come out on its own. Because the aggregates of mind, they are still there. So this one is, you will realize the unconditioned with the aggregate still there with residue. So you will know how to come out. Then you will start to develop clearer, deeper understanding. Sadhu, very good. How are you, Samo? Yeah.
没有，我觉得最近我的 mind 比较静了。
Oh, very good. It should be more and more quiet, more and more peaceful, more and more aware. 最重要就是正念, awareness inside. Every moment aware from inside. Aware, aware. Everything you do, aware. When you are aware and mindful, you can recollect like what Pucheng and some of the cultivators share. You can recollect because you are mindful when you do all those things. Then you can remember what happened. Means you can recollect, and like that day Adeline also shared, the car key or the no one. So she can recollect back to all those moments when she was aware. Then when she reached one moment where there was maybe something disturbing her during that time, she realized she cannot recollect. She cannot recollect. After that few minutes, she like completely don't have ability to recall or recollect. But at that moment, there is things that disturb her ability to be mindful. Maybe there is some worry, anxiety, or concern. You will start to see all this in the beginning. This is daily mindfulness. That's why if you don't reach that level of training and experience, you cannot report it. I cannot share with you more. I cannot explain to you more. That's why people have to report their meditation. Then you will be able to understand more clearly and move on from there. Otherwise, most people become like stuck or they call stagnant. The word is stagnant. You stagnate there. You cannot progress. Then some who didn't do the meditation with understanding, they become like trapped in the peace, the calmness, the beautiful mind state, not understanding the whole process of cultivation. The whole process of cultivation is a combination of wisdom and stability of that nature. That's why just now the book we share, when you are in the form of meditation, you strengthen the vitality of your nature. Means you strengthen the clarity of mind to realize that nature, to illuminate that nature, to become very, very clear, very stable, so that you understand what that nature is. Then the other one is to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to develop the wisdom. That one is the one in motion, daily mindfulness, daily activity, silent mind, meditative mind, the pure awareness that can see things as they are. So most of the time you are just aware, specific phenomena awareness or spacious awareness without a center. That's how the enlightened being, their mind, live. That's how they transform. They are always with their true mind. They only need to use the mundane mind to arise whatever they want when there is condition for it to arise. Even as they do it, they are aware within. They are mindful of everything that they arise. Means the thought process, the action, the speech, the communication, and they are fully aware. The understanding is always there, the wisdom to protect them. So that is what the real awareness-based meditation is. It's not the usually thought Dhamma or thought-based type of meditation where they focus on energy, concentration, jnana, insight, and all those things. Those things to me, not much meaning. If you say you realize that jnana knowledge, that one, but it does not translate to wisdom, to me it's only words, no use. Then you may say you are experiencing the first jhana, the second jhana, the third jhana, the fourth jhana, even until the eighth jhana. So what? You have the jhanic factor. The Buddha also went through that earlier on before his enlightenment, and yet they are still not nibbanic state. They are still within the field of thought, energy field. So if you don't have the clear understanding, you will be doing the wrong thing. That's why this meditation is different. It's called awareness-based. It means you don't use thought. It's not thought-based. It's just relax, maintain awareness. Then use that silent mind to observe, to develop understanding, to listen to Dhamma, to reflect, to contemplate, to inquire, to insight into phenomena, to develop the first, second, third turning wisdom, born of the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. So these are all the teaching within the Avijja Sutta, the 10 steps. Then after that, you will realize step 4, step 5. So step 4 and 5 is very useful. Yoniso Manasikara, initial wisdom, followed by Sati Sampajana. When you develop these two, you are destined for enlightenment. Then after that, sense restraint become automatic. That's the reason why without the stability of daily mindfulness, you cannot see, you cannot understand, you cannot awaken to the truth. Then how to have sense restraint? You can't even keep your present. Really, you don't even have the ability or mindfulness or sensitivity to see the evil roots. And what constitutes evil, the essential Dhamma, also you cannot understand. All this need mindfulness, sati, as the first enlightenment factor. Then with sati, you can investigate into the Dhamma. Dhamma Vichaya. Then when you investigate into the Dhamma, you can check whether it's true or not true, whether it stand up to investigation or not. If it stand up to investigation, your faith becomes very strong, enhanced. That's why it becomes unshakable. So sati will lead to Dhamma Vichaya. Dhamma Vichaya will lead to faith. Faith will lead to virya. It will drive you to cultivate. Then virya will lead you to the experience of piti, which is the enlightenment factor. Your mind becomes very calm, very peaceful, very tranquil, very still. That's how you finally realize pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, your meditative mind, your true mind. Then after that, your mind becomes the meditative mind. Then you stabilize it to develop samadhi. Samadhi means the mind that is unwavering, collected, stable. At the moment of sense experience, it does not stir, it does not react, it does not do anything. It maintains the stability to see things as they are, to be within the moment, collected and unwavering. So when you are able to be in that state of stability of mindfulness and samadhi, your views, opinion, and mental conditioning, memory, will not come in and distort what you see, what you perceive, what you hear. Then you can only act according to wisdom, understanding, born of your nature, which is connected to your form and mind. And that action is true action. That's why acting according to memory, your views, opinion, and conditioning is not acting at all. But that one is not wisdom. That one, before you are enlightened, there is ignorance. So all this understanding will unfold. Then with the stability of that sati and samadhi, you will insight in the phenomena and awaken. Then you will have the understanding to straighten all your views. So once all your views are straightened, the wisdom become more stable. Then with your daily mindfulness that enable you to be very sensitive, then you can, like what happened to Pokchen, the mind become different. You can have sense restraint. Like he said, you want the mind to be quiet, it's quiet. Peaceful is peaceful. Feeling become pure feeling. It cannot stir, it cannot move, it cannot do all those funny things like before anymore. That's why sense restraint. Step 6 will be there. So when there is sense restraint, you will be able to have all the time in the world to cultivate the 3 types of right conduct. This to arise the right thought, the right speech and reaction that you have not developed yet. So step 6 and 7 will enable you to awaken. By then you are at least a Sotapan or a Sakadagami. Then after that you want to move on, you cultivate step 8, the 4 foundation of mindfulness, Sati Sampajana. And then as you cultivate, you understand more. Then you realize the 7 factors of enlightenment are all the time with you. That is step 9. Then the natural consequence of step 9 is enlightenment in the here and the now, the realization of at least the stage of anagami, the 3rd stage of sainthood. And if that minor conceit and slight ignorance is also rooted out, you will realize arahantship. That's how the 10th step of Abhijja Sutta can be developed, fulfilled. Okay, very good, sadhu. Anybody else? We still have half an hour.
Brother Theo,
yeah.
Is Pocheng.
Ah, Pocheng, yes, sadhu.
Good evening to everybody.
Yeah.
Brother Theo.
Yes.
Actually, I wanted to ask you the question.
Yeah, can.
That listen carefully, the pure energy can heal the body.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you were saying the gas, you know, a lot.
Yeah, you were fat.
That is really true.
Ah, so
yes.
To you, yes.
Yeah, the gas is, oh my God, it's like... happen all the time, like,
yeah, and keep on farting, you know?
Yeah. Very scary also, huh?
No, need to be scary. The Monday mind will sometimes say, "Oh, you're very paiseh." Don't worry.
Yeah.
You just let it go out, because it's nature. You can ask around, who never fart? The whole world fart. And your one is pure energy. You don't hardly any smell. I remember hardly any.
Yes. No smell.
Yeah, no smell. Not that type of toxin one. This is pure energy. It is so beautiful. Then you will start to understand how it heal you. You try to recall whatever illness you have. Then after a month or 2, you check. All that thing is gone, completely gone. You are like a perfect human being. Like last night I described, the car perfectly tuned until no sound. The vibration becomes so quiet and so still, no sound. Like a perfect condition.
So this pure energy just know how to heal the body, is it?
It will do by itself.
Okay.
You don't have to do anything. That's okay. Like trust. When you trust, you don't interfere with your thought. You just let it be. It will activate the internal movement. It sometimes call it the opening of the nerve centers, nadis, and the chakra. it will open by itself, it will actually activate by itself, it will heal by itself, then it will know where to go. That's why that nature is very, very wise, intelligent. It will just do it by itself. No need to direct it, no need to do anything. And you can experience a lot of very fine movement. You can know where it go to heal. Then after that, how it become cautious, the outcome. And sometimes when you are so relaxed, it's so tinkling, it's like that. It's like that tinkling sensation. It is like when you go through that pity and there's to come like tinkling. But never mind, like, it's like you are doing it, you are fully aware. And where you go, what happened, you will know. Then you can even like 100% of the life force energy, yeah, send it into that nature also can. Yeah, during that time. Then your life force energy that come is not lost in thought. Because sometimes when you receive all this life force energy, most people use it in the emotion and the thinking, the arising of the mundane mind. They don't know how to channel it into the nature where they haven't located the gateway. So that's why people think a lot, have to focus, concentrate. Then they need a lot of time to rest for them to recuperate, because they use it, a lot of energy is lost in the thinking process. Those who study, they will also know, if you study, you cannot put on weight on. When you really study for exam, like in the uni, I remember, you cannot put on weight on. You can eat a lot, you have a lot of appetite, but you need a lot of energy to develop the thinking, the focusing, the concentration, the study, and all those things. That's why thought process use out a lot of energy. But this type of usage of energy is good, where there is clarity of mind. You like that subject, you study well, and you are very good in that subject. So technologically, that one is good. But the worst is to use it to become emotional, fearful, suffer, misery. That one is the worst way of using life. That one can actually make you very weak, weaken your immunity, and your life force become like affected with the fear, the negative energy, or weaken your immune system and cause your organ to deteriorate very fast, you age very fast. So this spiritual process is the opposite. It heals you, it revitalizes you. It's like you recuperate. After you lie down and silent, it's like you have rested very long. And like you hardly need to sleep. Throughout the day, you like no need to really sleep. You lie down 5 minutes, you like recharge yourself already. But later on, as you go through this process longer and longer and longer, like I explained last time, if you are fully used to the pure energy after a year or two, then you realize like take that so-called health product, medical oil, the one in English you call like supplement that strengthen your health, improve your health. So if you haven't taken before, first time you take it, very effective one. You can feel it on. It suddenly like benefit your body. Maybe your body lack all these things. So like the pure energy also say we come, it heal you and it's like very beautiful. But after you take for a while like the poyo, then that same thing will not improve you further, because it has already done its part. Then if you can still fall sick after that, then you are back to like a normal person. Then you have to learn how to relax, silent, aware, and look after your body. Yeah. That's how after 31 years now, this body is still very good, but I realize I need more rest. Sometimes last night I lie down 5-10 minutes, I recover. Then I realize I need half an hour, I need 1 hour, then 2 hours, then sometimes 3-4 hours, then sometimes I need to sleep half a day, 6 hours or what. Then later on, I realized I had to rest overnight, 12 hours, 18 hours. The body is still a body. It goes the way of nature. But you will know what to do. You will not attach to it. You will just accept the reality of the. But the wisdom is so powerful. We understand. That's the reason why I always tell you all this so-called brother Theo is not me, but it's a very important vehicle and tool for this nature to come to this universe, to this conditioned world, to do its duty, to benefit living beings, to be a blessing to all, to develop new affinity and condition, to understand and develop more understanding and perfection. So all this is the purpose of this physical body and mind, the five aggregate of form and mind, the vehicle and tool that it comes with. So even though it's not me, but it's a very important tool and vehicle, and this tool and vehicle has its function. That's why it has its duty. And with this type of understanding, the Dhamma that realize the understanding of the unconditioned and the conditioned, then it know how to live life. It know what to do. And it can be a blessing to all. That's how beautiful this Dhamma is, this teaching is. Mm. So can follow, huh? Okay. So no need to worry, huh? No need to fear. It's something very beautiful. Yeah, sadhu. Anything else?
I got some query about insights. About insights.
Yes.
So if you see your body breaking away, breaking apart, will you also see external body breaking apart?
It depends. Because the awareness is capable of seeing all this. Sometimes it's in the image form, understand not, mind state, for you to realize the understanding of form and all those things. So whatever you can see within you, you can also see within outside. That's why under the Satipatthana Sutta, the mindfulness, the four foundations, the Buddha always say, mindfulness of kaya means the physical body internally and externally. It means you can see yours, you can see other people outside. Then mindfulness of feeling internally and externally. You can also, like, you are inside that person, his activity, his kaya, his movement, like you are in it. You are one, merged with it. That is what spacious awareness without a center is. Your awareness can, like, when it, one with it. That you can be like doing all this movement and activity. I used to see the chakra of awareness. I used to observe things when I am in the coffee shop or when I move around. Then when people walk or the moving car, then I realize my awareness and the car move as one. Then I can be like with the moment, with all activity, all movement. Then the way I can feel my feeling, I can also like sense or feel other people's feeling that my nature can feel. Then when they are unhappy, sad and all those things, you can sense it. But normal human being need to see their human facial expression, then only they can see. Then if you are not sensitive, you meet somebody poker face. You know what is poker face or not? Well, when they play poker, they actually taukai. Taukai means they are not sincere. They put up a poker face to make you believe that they have good card. But when you force them to open the card, actually their card is lousy card. Then some people, poker face means they are actually very sad, very miserable. But they try to put up an expression to tell you that I'm okay, everything. But if you have the mindfulness, the sensitivity, the awareness, you can sense them. They are not happy. They have problems inside. Yeah, you can see. You can feel that vibration, everything is there. Then the content of consciousness. When they are heedless, you can also understand. You can also know. When they are mindful, you can also know. That's why when I see all these people who cultivate, my nature rejoins. Then I know these are beautiful beings. These are beings who have mindfulness, who are sensitive. Then their nature, sometimes you can feel them, they can feel you. That's why when I travel on spiritual trip, the monks who can feel my nature, they rejoice. And they know we are different. Our group are different. And they like to talk to me. Like there was one nunnery we went to. The Empress and the other senior disciple, the two of them know. They talk to the other Kayamita. He's like, you're this teacher or you're this Sang, Sang Jensen, I don't know what they call me. Sang Si Xiong or whatever. He said, 不简单. He is not a simple cultivator. He really has his understanding because they can feel, they can sense from the way you move, you speak, you share, and they can sense you. Your presence is different. That's why you have cultivated, you have developed that sensitivity of mind and that type of nature, you become very different. So to answer your question, yes, you can. But more important is continue to silence your mind, develop the ability to understand that nature more and more. Then now is just the beginning. A lot of things you will continue to learn and develop. So more important is now cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Go through the Heart Sutta, understand what these right views are, then learn to see the cause and effect, especially the law of karma. Then you can understand why people are like that, why you are born into your family, why you have certain brothers and sisters with you, and what are the likely causes and conditions for them to have affinity with you. You will start to develop the clear understanding. Then you will understand many, many things on your own. Can follow on?
Yes, it's very good for me that you give me these tips, you know,
Radio. Yeah. Because this is something, if on your own, it will take you a while. You will still learn it, but it will take you a while. But because there is condition, there is affinity, that's why I can share all this. It's exactly like what I used to tell Kayanamita. If nobody developed the training and the cultivation until that stage, there are a lot of things that my nature has gone through experience I cannot share because there is no condition for it to arise. And sometimes it's because the higher beings, they want to know, they want to understand. That's why they condition some Kayanamita or living being to ask on their behalf. Then the condition arise. There's a reason why in the early days, sometimes when I share certain topic or aspect of the Dhamma, my nature realize something wrong. What is going on? Well, this Dhamma that I share are so profound, so deep. Normal living being at that time, or even the so-called parameter at that time, cannot understand. But it just come out. Means the teaching wants to come out, and these people up there, the Dhamma protectors, the great beings, the cultivators, they want this sharing, especially when I am in the retreat, Cameron Highland. Oh, a lot of this teaching just surface. And sometimes in Wu Ping Jing Se, Tuesday class, Thursday class, the thing that come out become very different. Then one very common phenomenon is heavy rain. Thunderstorm. Even last night I went to Perth also same. At that night when I delivered the speech, it was raining. So a lot of things you will start to understand. But with this understanding guidance, you will understand it faster and you will progress faster. But always remember, Pucheng, don't go and keep it into memory. Then try to look for it. Forget about it. Don't even try to remember. But your nature, because you already reached this stage, whatever I say that is important to you, you will remember one. You no need to sometimes write down note also. No need. But if you want to, after that, whatever you can recall, you write down notes so that in future you can refer to them, what day, what time happened. Then during that time, you can remember the process, the transformation, so that later on when you have the condition to share your own story, you can recall read all. Well, these are like pointer. You read back, you will recall. Otherwise, after you completely transform, your brain become very different. Your brain become non-grasping. Non-grasping means it cannot hold on to things. Like you find it so difficult to remember things. You cannot like want to commit to memory and remember things. You know, that one is a free mind already. Non-grasping, they agree. So it cannot do that. If you want to do that, it will show it to you. If that fine suffering, you can feel it inside. And you will never do. But don't worry. Because I came to realize, even if I don't want to remember, when the time comes when I need to remember, it will come back to me. Then important thing that you want to do in life, like meeting, pay your bill, or maybe your sister's birthday, or somebody, your children or spouse, you want to remember to do your part, you can write it down. Yeah? You write it down. Once you write it down enough already, then you realize you don't have to commit to memory. Already. Then can remember, remember, cannot remember, never mind. But when you have that type of mind, you just give it an awareness. You say, okay, when the time comes, let me recall. And then it was a face on. It was a, then sometimes not important one. You can forget one. But the condition will come back. People will remind you. Or you will somehow have the condition to recall. I'm supposed to do this. Very strange one. Yeah. But everything is like towards your nature's benefit and understanding. It's like everything will fall into place and become so beautiful. Meant to be will be. Like all the good things will happen, means they will happen because of the wisdom, the virtue, and the understanding. So all these are important. So don't try to commit to memory. You want to take note, can right now. Then whatever that you need to understand, when I say it out at this moment, you will be able to recall. Then when you go through the transformation, you will remember what I say. Then all this understanding will stabilize inside you. Just like what you went through earlier on. Wow, you say so amazing, so wonderful, so marvelous. Everything just happened like that. And without words, without thought, you can see, you can understand, and you just go through that tunnel. Like you say, you didn't do anything. Everything just happened by itself. And it's really so amazing and so beautiful. That's why it can give rise to a lot of faith and confidence to other Kayana
Mitras. Yes. No need to remember anything. Just naturally, automatically happen.
Yes.
It unfolds by itself.
It unfolds by itself. Very good.
And then you somehow know what to do, you know.
You will know what to do, and that is real wisdom. You don't need to worry and think on. No such thing already.
Correct. So it's just automatic, you know.
Automatic one. Like you already have the understanding there. You just know how to act and know how to do. Mind they become so beautiful. Like you say last time, very difficult thing. No more problem. You just resolve it. You just know how to attend it, and you become more efficient. You have clarity. You have understanding, and you can do things very fast now. Then you know more like other people, Papa, Mama. Are you worried about this? Worry about that? Don't know what decision to make. These are the sign of heedlessness, delusion without the Dhamma. You have the Dhamma one, all these things disappear. Your mind state becomes so different. Your understanding becomes so different. And you can just know how to act.
Yes.
And you just know what to do and resolve issue. And you become so efficient.
Yes.
Brother,
no need to think.
No need to think. That's why spontaneous.
There's nothing to think already.
Nothing to think already. Of, more about the thought and knowledge. It's just understanding. It will just do.
Somehow your mind have less clutter, less thinking already.
Yes, much less. Hardly any. Like in the meditation, 1 hour plus without thought, without mental hindrance. You think normal people can do.
I also didn't expect, you know, it's so beyond your
wildest dream. It can
yes.
That's why you use the word amazing.
And
really beautiful. Without you expecting anything, it just happened.
I think because I didn't expect anything. I just do.
Yeah, then it unfold, and you have so much joy.
Have faith, and then just
faith
do
is very important.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah, determined to do it. The just faith and determined.
The determination.
Yes.
Really,
so,
very determined.
Yes, Paratio is also very amazing to me that suddenly I took that opportunity and go all the way.
Yeah, the window. We are on emphasizing Kayamita must wake up and make use of this window.
Yes, so it kind of dawned on me that I better wake up and the Chinese say chiong, you know.
Yeah.
So that all unfold naturally, you know.
Yeah. Sadhu.
Sadhu.
And your five daily contemplation help you.
Yes. The death really pushed me very hard.
Marana Anusati, the contemplation on death. The urgency to cultivate. That one really moved you.
Yes.
Actually, cultivation is like that. If you don't have this type of seriousness, the faith, the perseverance, and the determination, you cannot really progress. I remember when I was doing it full time, my mind was so strong that faith, that virya, and that perseverance, the determination, I just want to do it. Because this is to me so important. This is life and death. Not only this life, all my future depend on this understanding. I went all out to cultivate 1986 until 1989.
So actually it means that in any condition, in any way, you can do it, you know.
Yeah, you can do it, and you will know what to do.
Yes, correct.
And you are always at peace, your mind. There is no more fear, worry like last time anymore.
Yes, correct.
Even the habitual tendency come, for a while it will cease. Then your understanding take over. Your true mind will know how to act.
So you
already saw all these things so clearly.
Yes.
That is the beauty of mindfulness, awareness.
Yes, amazing.
Amazing, very amazing.
Yes.
That's
very
why
amazing,
you are
like,
in that state of pure awareness, fully aware with that clarity.
Yes.
Everything becomes so clear, so sensitive.
Yes. So crystal clear.
Crystal clear. Yeah, the word is crystal clear. Sadhu to you.
Sadhu.
Let us all rejoice.
Sadhu.
Yeah. You can continue.
So, Radio, I hope all Kayamitas also can do it. You know?
Yeah, sure. They will
with
be.
With confidence
local.
And faith.
Yeah,
with
from
Radio's
the message,
guidance.
You know?
Yes.
From
yes.
the message, we already knew a few of them. I think many, they rejoice and they really become very motivated. Even I remember Ingvi also say that, now with this type of sharing, they have so much more faith and confidence in the way. So this one, you need somebody to go through. Yeah.
Yes, correct. Yes, because Brother Teo, you are special being so for us. Just to listen to you, maybe very hard. You know, the mundane mind thinking, very difficult, huh? Yeah. So if a lay person, you know, like me, can do it,
everybody else can do it. You came in later, somehow.
Yeah.
And what you did is a very normal process where any lay person can actually do it because. Your strong point is you follow everything I advise.
Yes.
You develop the daily mindfulness. That one is very important. The daily religious routine. Before you sleep, you meditate. When you wake up, you meditate. Then you do your puja. Then you do your daily mindfulness. That one is most important. And you connect all your daily activity and you determine to be aware and mindful. That's why after that, your meditation becomes very different. You sit, relax, maintain awareness, the sati just come. Then after that, within half an hour, like you say, the shift of consciousness happened and you went into that stillness. The that clarity, that silence, that's how you become very confident and you become very different. You experience that state of no mind, no thought, no mental hindrance, clear, bright awareness within. It's like so amazing to you, and the mind becomes so sensitive, so clear, so super clear. You use the word crystal clear, and you can feel so many things. Your heart beat everything. Yeah. Then the transformation, then the awareness drop to your heart, then the tunnel open up, and everything is history.
So I actually thought that it would take me years to do
this. It's supposed to take years. But because you go by the words and you do sincerely with the understanding, that's why you progress very far. Then after that, whenever you read or listen to my sharing, the understanding is so clear. Yeah? It comes from that silent mind. The sharing all comes from that silent awareness, that nature. That's how you can understand, which is very beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you, Brother Teo.
Thank you. Let us rejoice again. Thanks for your sharing also. Okay, almost 6 o'clock, I think we can end.